next on NHL Fantasy on Ice, an Eastern Conference playoff preview, pool picks, Series X factors, upset alerts, and a breakdown of each series. Tampa or the field? Find out next. It's NHL Fantasy on Ice.
What's going on, everybody? Eastern Conference Stanley Cup playoff preview here on this Sunday morning. Rob Reese, Pete Jensen, Dave Satriano. What's going on, guys?
What's up, fellas? Happy Sunday.
Best time of the year. Love the playoffs.
And all the matchups got finalized on Saturday night, so we're here to break it all down. Preview the fantasy implications, DFS, FanDuel contest do continue into the Stanley Cup playoffs, remember, and also Stanley Cup playoff pools, very popular these days.
I think right off the top, boys, everyone and their mother is hammering Tampa Bay. They had a historic season, 30 home wins, 30 road wins. Are we big on the Lightning? Is this thing, should we even bother talking about other teams on this program today?
I definitely think we should. Yes, they had a historic season, but there's other teams that, such as the Bruins in the East, who can challenge them. So I don't think the Lightning, this is a cinch for them to win or even get to the final.
I've been asking myself the past few weeks, am I taking the Tampa Bay Lightning or am I betting on the rest of the field? My simple answer, I'm going the rest of the field. I think Boston could upset them. I think Washington could upset them. But in the first round even, the Tampa Bay Lightning are going to be facing a feisty little team with a lot of issues, but certainly a very high ceiling in the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Well, they won 6 out of their past 7 games, Columbus, to get in. So they are as hot as you can be right now at the right time of year. I like this matchup for Columbus. I think it's a little bit of a contrarian play. Maybe they can win 2 games, the Blue Jackets. Let's say Bob steals one away from home. Then they come back to Nationwide Arena, and you're feeling okay about them. Seth Jones, another guy that could log like 30-plus minutes, great playoff performer. So I like a little bit of a contrarian play here for the Blue Jackets, but I do think ultimately Tampa Bay is winning the series.
Yeah, you know, the 3 games they played this year, the Lightning outscored them 17-3. We know Bobrovsky's troubles in the playoffs, so it's kind of hard to like their chances here, but it would be nice to see them win a game or two. We know Columbus hasn't won a playoff series in their existence, so this would be a good one, first one to get.
And all the chips are on the table, remember, for Columbus with the 3-4 UFAs, 3 of their most, you know, important players with Duchesne, Bobrovsky, and Panarin. Panarin really saved them the other day in that game at the Garden where he had that 6 shootout goal. I mean, Columbus blew that game in the final seconds of, you know, of the third period. I mean, are you worried that this team could get swept? Because I certainly am.
I'm not worried that they're going to get swept. I think there's too much pressure on Tampa Bay for that to happen. I think there might be 1 or 2 games in that series where they're maybe overcomplicating things and getting away from how they played during the regular season. The other factor that I'm looking at in this series is the power play for Tampa Bay. We saw when it dried up last season. I think it took until the Eastern Conference final, but their power play dried up and they were shot at even strength. Columbus, to me, is a good team, hard to play against at even strength. That's an area that I would look at in this series that could be a deciding factor.
You know, Columbus also had one of the best penalty kills in the league, and they had took the fewest penalties under John Tortorella, who preaches discipline. And I mean, I think it was only 6 penalty minutes per game, 6 total minutes, and fewest by far in the league. They allowed the fewest power play goals against. So you're right, that could be an area where the series may swing a bit.
And John Tortorella, I was just thinking about it, is facing his former team with whom he won the Stanley Cup in 2004. So that's a nice little storyline for Torts. With all the pressure on Columbus, maybe it shifts a little bit to Tampa Bay in this series. I mean, with how crazy the NHL playoffs are, to be honest, I mean, Tampa Bay is clearly the favorite in this matchup, but what if Bob has a shutout in game 1 on the road? Would it shock you? I mean, he's got like 7 shutouts since the beginning of February.
So we like Columbus now, boys?
No. No way.
Columbus will win 2 games if they're lucky.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think that's about right. I would say Tampa in 6 in this one is probably a safe bet. I mean, that's probably worst comes to worst for the Lightning, but I do think that would be a safe pick.
Now, if you're starting your playoff pool and you're drafting, say, in the first 5 picks, are you looking for any Lightning player that's still available? Kucherov's definitely going to go number 1, but are you looking at a Braden Point? Do you trust a Braden Point? Do you trust the Steven Stamkos, who you mentioned dried up in the playoffs at even strength last year very drastically? And that team, I'm still worried about. They did not score a goal in game 6 and 7 against the Washington Capitals last year when all the importance reached its height.
Yeah, I do like Braden Point, but a player that I think I like as my number one, which would be David Pastrnak, because I think the Bruins can not only beat Toronto, but if they get in two playoff series. Last year, the guy had 20 points in 12, 13 playoff games. Totally. The whole top line was good, but Pastrnak just seems to turn it up to another level. To me, and you might think this is crazy, but I would choose him over some of those Lightning guys.
I don't think you're crazy. I would be in the minority, I guess, with you on that one, because I do believe in the President's Trophy curse, and I think there is something about that Tampa team. I can't put my finger on it necessarily. It is a gut feeling, but there's something off about that team, and I think we're going to see it on special teams. So I'd be with Dave on that one. I'd be looking at a team like Boston to draft first overall, but I'd probably give my preference to a line mate of Pastrnak and Brad Marchand.
Now, in terms of the back end for the Tampa Bay Lightning, speaking about winning 2, 3, 4 playoff rounds, are you worried at all about this injury to Victor Hedman? He didn't really play the final week of the regular season. Uncertain even for game one. That's not a good sign for me.
I'm worried. There's no doubt about it. They need Hedman to play 30 minutes per game. I mean, you can't have a guy like Dan Girardi out there. People are skate by him with absolute ease. There's no pressure there anymore from a player like that. Victor Hedman has to play big time minutes, and if his upper body is all banged up, look at the Philadelphia Flyers last year when Ivan Provorov had the shoulder injury. He just couldn't get the job done. They ended up losing that series. Those big time defenders like that, if they're hurt, especially upper body where it takes a physical toll on you, watch out.
So maybe a big onus will fall on Mikhail Sergachev like it has in the past few games. I mean, he's got like I think 7 points over his past 5 or 6 games, so he stepped up his game a little bit. For the goaltending, though, goalie master, give us your take. Is Andre Vasilevsky, he was the best goalie in the regular season in terms of workload and efficiency combined. Can he get the job done when it matters most?
I think he can get the job done. I mean, let's not forget, he did appear in the Stanley Cup Finals when
2015
when Ben Bishop, no shock, got hurt. I think they lost that game, but I think he did play pretty well. So he has been there. He's been the best goalie this season. You know, the playoffs are always a different animal. But look, he was one game away from the Stanley Cup final last year. And if the Lightning scored a goal for him in either game, they could have gotten there. So it's not like this guy's a rookie. He's new to this. So he's definitely one of the top 2 or 3 goalies in the playoffs.
He's at the top of our Stanley Cup playoff pool rankings, which you could find on NHL.com/fantasy right now. So in terms of other goalies like Tuukka Rask or like Braden Holtby, do you even consider taking one of those two guys ahead of Vasilevsky, or is this a clear-cut pick for Vasi?
I don't know. I would probably give Tuukka Rask a little bit of time, but he's in a timeshare situation with Yaroslav Halak all season long. So that would be my concern for the Boston Bruins. It's tough on those teams where, you know, if you had a 1A, a 1B all season long, you know, the first bad game from the 1A, there's going to be talk in the media afterwards that, 1B might be getting warmed up. He might be leading out the starters net the next practice. So my preference there, even though I do like Boston, I think overall a little bit more than the Lightning this season, I would say that Andre Vasilevsky is the clear-cut number one goaltender in all fantasy playoff pools and DFS just because there's nobody behind him. I mean, Louis Domingue, it's turned into a circus the last 10 games. He's been on the bench. He's been doing these charades after the game. Like, you can't put that guy in the net to win a playoff game. I'm sorry.
And it's crazy when you think about, like, the Capitals last year. Remember they started Grubauer in games 1 and 2? I mean, this is a timeshare doesn't really translate well historically to the postseason.
Yeah, it usually doesn't. I mean, like you said, last year the Capitals lose the first 2 games. Braden Holtby's on the bench, you know, which he never should have been in the first place. But I feel like this playoffs, there's actually a couple of teams where we could see timeshares in the playoffs. I mean, the Islanders are a perfect example of that. Robin Leonard, Thomas Greiss were 2 of the best this season. You know, they won the Jennings, but like, what do you do there? The Islanders start Leonard first? I think they have to. And then, you know, if he falters, you put Greiss in. But the Islanders are one of those teams where you might want to stay away from the goalies just because they might split the time there. So it's kind of an interesting question.
And Carolina's another team that has that, you know, Mrazek. The late season trend doesn't really matter if you lose games 1 and 2 and then you're going back home. Like, say Mrazek plays poorly in games 1 and 2, then it'll probably be McElhinney for game 3. And the Carolina Hurricanes are another team, like Columbus, that got a surprise change in matchup, and we thought maybe Carolina would be playing Tampa Bay. Instead, they draw the Washington Capitals in a nice little southeastern rivalry potentially.
But, you know, it's also with Toronto and Boston, the Bruins are a team that could have some split goalies too. Rask hasn't been playing great recently. Halak's a proven playoff player. So that's three teams we have in the Eastern Conference that could have a goalie, you know, a swing of goalies in the playoffs. Could go either way in their matchups.
I mean, we could sit here for hours and talk about goalies. I'm falling asleep here, boys. Okay, if we do like Columbus to win two games in this series, okay, I think we're all in a consensus that that could happen. Who are we looking at? Is it going to be Panarin that's leading this charge, scoring goals, or is it someone like Matt Duchene, one of these deadline acquisitions?
I mean, I'm really worried. Like I said, I'm worried that they could get swept. If Matt Duchene performs at that multi-point level that he was performing with the Ottawa Senators earlier in the season, yes, Columbus could win two games. If that doesn't happen, no more than one win for Columbus in my book.
You know, the Blue Jackets have seven players that have scored at least 20 goals, including Duchene and Zingle, who came over from the Senators. But the guy who I like on them is Oliver Bjorkstrand. I'm not sure where or if you guys had him on the list, but he's had six goals in, you know, five games. He's been stepping up recently. And the Blue Jackets have two lines that have 20 goal scores on them. But I think Bjorkstrand's a sneaky guy that I would like in my some of my pools.
I honestly like that depth, and that's a great stat because I think Washington is another team that has 720 goal guys. Those teams are hard to play against because you can roll three lines. Josh Anderson is a player, Pete, that you and I have been targeting late season DFS wise. That could be the guy that steps up in a physical series like that and take over.
Well, really, if you think about it, the only chance for Columbus, they need Bob to stand on his head and probably have the best playoff series of his career to even stand a chance. But then the physical aspect, Josh Anderson, Nick Foligno, Boone Jenner. These are guys that have played well in the playoffs before, especially guys like Boone Jenner. I know he had, when they put the Penguins a couple years ago, scoring goals, throwing hits. These are the physical presences that will make a difference and could put a little pressure on the Lightning over the course of the series.
That's another reason why Tampa lost to Washington. They couldn't handle the physicality that Washington brought. Washington's such a heavy team, they literally need more jet fuel for the charter. Okay, Tampa Bay is not a very heavy team. Columbus, that's why they got Adam McQuaid at the deadline. For situations like this, they start throwing the body around and grind Tampa down. Well, guess what? Even if Tampa does get through round one, they might be less likely to get through round two.
And how do you think another thing that worries me about Tampa Bay long term over the course of the playoffs, we still don't know who is solidified on that top line, right? I mean, it was Tyler Johnson earlier in the season. Last week or so of the season, it's been like Yanni Gourde. I mean, who's going to step up and play that role? And they need to figure that out. I mean, right? Can they win the cup if they keep changing their lines every so often?
They probably can, but I think Tyler Johnson's the guy that the last couple playoffs, what do you have, a point per game? You know, the year that they made the Stanley Cup final, he had like 22 points. Him and Palat were great. You know, his regular seasons don't always seem to be great, but Tyler Johnson just steps up in the playoffs. And if you can move away from the Kucherov, the Stamkos, the Braden Point, who had 100 points or almost 100 points, Tyler Johnson is a guy that I think he's going to be an X factor for them.
I agree. Tyler Johnson's absolutely the runaway X factor. He can play a couple different positions. He can play late game situations. He's a 200-foot player. That is the player in the playoffs that makes moves, that scores big goals, and chippy goals at that. Not even highlight real goals. Chippy goals, which we all know it. Ask the Pittsburgh Penguins about chippy goals. That's how you win playoff series.
And late in a playoff pool draft, you should look at guys and prioritize guys like Andre Palat, you know, Tyler Johnson, guys who have produced for Tampa in the playoffs, who are going to be playing in their top nine and going to be getting the job done if they go the distance.
So moving away from that series, the next division winner, the Washington Capitals, will play the Carolina Hurricanes. Congratulations to them. First time in the playoffs since 2009. That's a nice little sneaky Southeast matchup for round one. Who do we like in this series, boys?
Now, I like the Capitals. This is one of five playoff series that the teams have never met in the playoffs, which is really interesting to me, especially with the way the format is now. It seems like, you know, every year we'll get a couple of the same matchups. But Capitals won all four of the games. They outscored them 15-9. You mentioned their Capitals depth before. I think Jacob Vrana, 24 goals, whatever. When you can get someone like that in addition to, you know, Ovechkin, Oshie, Tom Wilson, Backstrom. I mean, it's a great story in Carolina, but it's tough to see them beating Washington 4 out of 7 games.
I'll give you an X factor for Carolina. If Andrei Svechnikov is playing in the top six and blows up in this series, then they have a chance to pull the upset. That's the only way that I think that Carolina could spring the upset. I know Justin Williams has the familiarity with the Capitals from a couple years ago. He's their captain. He's a great playoff performer. I just don't think I trust you do too, Rob. Mm-hmm. Right? We trust that core of the Washington Capitals mm-hmm. so much.
And the physicality is the thing that I think is going to hurt this Carolina team. They are just not very physical. They've got a lot of light forwards. I think that's going to hurt them come playoff time. But the one thing I would keep an eye on from Carolina's standpoint is Dougie Hamilton got close to 20 goals as a defenseman this season. That's ridiculous. I think if he can step up and really log those 25-plus minute games, they do stand a chance to win a few games. I just know that his ice time at the end of the season has been down around 19 minutes per game. I'm sorry, Rod Brind'Amour, but that's a player you need to play 25-plus.
Yeah, maybe over the course of the series, especially if they fall behind 0-2. I mean, they have great chemistry, Hamilton and Svechnikov. Throw them on the first power play. We've been wanting it all season. Maybe it happens if the Hurricanes are in dire straits over the course of the series. But, yeah, I think the defense of Carolina, like Justin Falk, has to show you more than in the regular season. Dougie Hamilton hopefully gets better usage. Some intriguing players, though, to say the least, for Carolina.
Yeah, I think we also got to mention Teravainen because the way he's fit in there and played great. But as you mentioned with, you know, Justin Williams, he's won the cup, he can do all this. But it just seems like the way the season has gone for Carolina, to me, it just seems like they're happy just to get in. I know they'll say what they want to say, but this is already a success for them to just be here. So to me, I think they're, you know, I think, of course, they want to win, but realistically, the Capitals, even after last year, are just better in every aspect.
How do you choose between Backstrom and Ovechkin or Backstrom and Kuznetsov in a playoff pool?
I choose Kuznetsov because of last year, because he led the entire postseason in scoring. Mm-hmm. I think that he's valuable whether he's with Oshie or, I mean, they're both valuable either way. I just think the recent track record of Kuznetsov makes him a more attractive player in terms of his ceiling in a playoff pool. For Carolina, though, I was just going to mention the two centers. Look at the center matchup. I mean, it's heavy, right, in Washington's favor. Jordan Staal, number two center. That's for Carolina. You're going to need some of these unsung heroes over the season to all collectively come together. You're going to need Justin Williams, big-time performances. Need Jordan Staal, who hasn't been to the playoffs since he was with the Penguins.
Down the middle is always a storyline that costs, either helps teams in the playoffs, and that's the reason why they won the series, or it's the reason why they lost the series.
I actually think what that is going to be, if Carolina somehow manages to win this, is faceoffs, because we know the Capitals are, I don't know if they're the worst, but one of the worst faceoff teams, and Carolina's got Staal
face-offs?
And all the guys that they have. If they can win some of those key offensive draws, you know, this could it could be a fact. If Carolina wins, I'm telling you, you're gonna look at faceoffs.
I don't know about that. I mean, faceoffs, Dave.
You remember this. You'll
maybe,
remember
maybe
this.
Maybe if we were playing lacrosse. Maybe,
I don't know.
Maybe it would be more of a factor. I don't think faceoffs are much of a factor. Kuznetsov, like I said, led the playoffs in scoring last year and was abysmal in the faceoff circle.
What about Mrazek versus Holtby? Is there any advantage to giving Mrazek the edge off the bat here, because Holtby, number one, he's a little bit of a slow starter in the playoffs, and then number two, Mrazek was one of the hottest goalies to end the season, 10-2-0 with two shutouts.
Braden Holtby is historically one of the best save percentage guys over whatever the minimum number of games is. I mean, even in their failing seasons, he was getting it job done with the efficiency. That's not even a debate for me. I don't care what happened in the regular season. And the same thing happened last year, right? Holtby was terrible in the regular season and had an epic Stanley Cup playoff run. So I have full trust in Holtby.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Holtby, Phoenix Copley's lucky if he sees a game or any action in the playoffs. This isn't going to be a last year where Holtby's not starting or there's a question of who. Holtby's the better goalie. Mrazek, like, nice story. You know, he's played pretty well, but playoffs are a different animal. Washington's been there how many years in a row, so tough sledding.
If they drop the first two in D.C., do they call McElhinney's number?
I think you have to. You have to. Mm-hmm. You can't go three games with the same guy if he's losing two in a row. You know, even if they're close games, you have to change it up somehow.
And they're both potential UFAs, so you have no attachment mm-hmm. to either one. Mm-hmm. I mean,
it's a good point.
I think Carolina needs to stay alive any way that they can.
I mean, Mrazek probably earned that extension already just because them in. But you're right. I mean, that how quickly things can change. You get shelled two playoff games. You kind of forget about that nice little run at the end of the season that he had.
You know, going back to Toronto, Boston, I'm just wondering, because we haven't really talked about the Maple Leafs forwards. We know they have Anderson and, you know, as most of us don't think he's going to outduel Rask and whatnot. But what do we think of, you know, where would you take Matthews and, you know, Tavares? Are you guys thinking they're going to lose in the first round, so you don't want them as high? Or what are your thoughts on?
I don't think they're getting past the first round. I mean, something about the Bruins against the Leafs in the playoffs. I mean, look back like 5 years ago. Remember that colossal game seven? I know it's a different group of players mostly, but the cobwebs are there, right? Last year, game seven loss to the Bruins. The Bruins own the Toronto Maple Leafs in the playoffs. That's just my take on it. And I think that they're, even though the Leafs are a little deeper at center, there's something special about that Bruins team this year.
I'm kind of getting a little Pens Caps feel from this one, that it could be the year that Toronto Maple Leafs finally break through and get the job done. The only thing that makes me think that is Mitch Marner. I think he's the guy, Dave, to answer your question, how do I choose between the Matthews and the Tavares, is I don't. I take Mitch Marner.
The issue for me is that, you know, this could be a very high-scoring series, but if Toronto's going to be out after the first round, do you really want a guy, you know, if he has 7 points in seven games, it's great.
I'm not teeing up first overall and walking down and saying, Mitch Marner. I mean, you'd have to check me into to the loony bin there. But I think, you know, like late second round, early third round, even if Mitch Marner, let's say they take seven games against Boston, you think he's going to get 14 points? That would be more valuable than a player that plays 14 games but then has, you know, 10 points.
And to play to what you said, choosing Marner over Matthews, Matthews had like 2 points in seven playoff games last year. He was a non-factor in that series, and Mitch Marner was a beast, better than a point per game in the playoffs.
That was his coming out party.
And if you're looking at the goalies there, I think Frederik Andersen, who was one of the best goalies up until the last month of the season, he's probably not even top five in the Eastern Conference playoffs right now, right? You'd have to say that based on the matchup.
I'm just saying, though, there's something weird going on with their goalie situation at the end of the year. I don't know how well Mike Babcock handled that whole thing. I don't know if you saw the story where they like removed the backup Garrett Sparks. His whole locker was removed from the locker room. I don't even know how were the carpenters in there like unscrewing the thing and the wheeling out. I mean, that's just an awkward situation. So I hope Freddie Andersen has his head dialed in, because backup wise, Garrett Sparks, I guess his equipment isn't even there anymore.
Yeah, Michael Hutchinson.
It would have to be Michael Hutchinson.
This guy, he played a couple games for them during the season, but you really want him in the playoffs against the Bruins? Tough spot.
I really hope that Freddie Anderson's locked and ready to go, and his health, I hope, holds up too, because if we see Michael Hutchinson against the Boston Bruins, watch out.
And we can't look past this series, because it's going to be a tight one, right? Last year, the Bruins had a chance to put them away in five. They didn't do it. It went seven, and then they kind of ran out of gas in the second round against the Tampa Bay Lightning and lost in five. So I like the Bruins to come out of the East. I like them to come out of the East at the beginning of the season, and I'm sticking with that pick here. That said, Frederik Andersen, he's the guy. I love Frederik Andersen. He could steal the series. That's the way that the Lightning would. That's the way that the Toronto Maple Leafs would win this one.
I think you're right. If they're going to win, it's going to have to be on him. But it's just tough. Boston has too many guys that can score. Too many options. They're healthy now. I mean, it's going to be pretty tough for them to, I think, win four out of seven against the Bruins, who, you know, they lost three of four in the regular season. But yeah, Anderson's going to have to be better than his regular season self for the Maple Leafs to win, in all likelihood.
What are we thinking for X factors for each team here? Like, who would be the guy from Toronto that if they were to break through and win the series, would it be maybe a Jake Gardner, or would it be maybe like a forward like Zach Hyman?
William Nylander. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's my X factor. Other than Frederik Andersen, who I mentioned has the best performances of the Maple Leafs this season have been when he's been playing great, the best stretches of play. But William Nylander, we still have not seen the William Nylander from the previous 2 years, so he's my X factor.
I don't know if you're trying to troll me, because I could go on a William Nylander rant right now, because my fire has been stoked. William Nylander, everyone that says that his play hasn't been good or that they should trade him in the offseason is ridiculous. You're not watching the games. You're looking at the stat line. You're not watching the games. Every single time he's on the ice, the puck is on his stick. He's driving it towards the net. That if he starts scoring, you're right, Pete. That would win them the series. If he has five goals in that first round, they will win. Take that to the bank right now.
Yeah, I mean, like, the thing for fantasy owners is, Rob, we really don't care the puck's on his stick if he's not scoring goals. So for people that, you know, need this, you know, it's not really going to help them. But
well,
I think
I'm a believer,
I agree with
Dave.
You, Pete. He was my X factor for the series, too. I think if he can do some things for Toronto, and, you know, if he gets scoring, yeah, they'll be in good shape.
Speaking of like the possession stuff, so like I know Boston's a very heavy team, dominates possession. Carolina through the years, I wanted to mention that earlier when we were talking about the Hurricanes' chances of pulling the upset, and then Nylander as well, good possession metrics through good times and bad this year. How much stock do you put into something like that over the course of a 7-game series? Do you think it gives a team an edge or a shot?
Probably not. I think I would look more at hits and shots as like the number one metric. I think hits, shots, a top five and a top five power play and a top five penalty kill in the playoffs, that's the formula for the winning. I mean, it doesn't help to have good to have good possession metrics, but I really don't think that I would read a whole lot into that right now.
Right. I mean, how about that Penguins from a couple of years ago, Penguins Caps, the Caps dominated possession, dominated the shots. Penguins won the series, so the Penguins have a really nice rivalry matchup here. The teams met a couple of years ago in the playoffs, Islanders, Penguins. This is my toss-up in the East. My heart's telling me the Islanders, but everything I've watched over the past decade of the Pittsburgh Penguins tells me that Pittsburgh wins all these emotional series, right? The Flyers last year, Islanders a couple of years back. The Penguins get it done in these spots.
Yeah, they have a bad taste in their mouth last year after finally losing to the Capitals. But going off which Islanders we would want to have here, I believe number 46 is the first Islander on your guys' list, Matthew Barzal. Are we not ticking Islanders just because we don't think they're going to win, or there are not many forwards on the team that we think will help us in the playoffs here, or what?
Well, number one, their power play. I don't want anything to do with that power play. And power play points are a big factor for me in playoff pools, so that would be
better than face-off wins?
Yeah, well, good point there, Dave. Face-off wins is the new meta for those that haven't heard. That's Dave Satriano's patented strategy. But no, I really do think the reason we have Barzal, who's an elite player talent-wise, but the reason why he's at 46, number one, kind of a disappointing season from fantasy standpoint. And then number two, I just can't see myself picking against the Penguins given their track record. It's one of those mental blockades that maybe you guys, and we can talk about it, and maybe you'll sway me to pick the Islanders, but I just can't see them getting through a team like Pittsburgh, who, like we said, it's Patrick Hornquist gets the fluky goals. They're hitting a lot of crossbars. They're getting a lot of net front traffic. The only way that the Islanders win the series, if they hold Sidney Crosby without a goal.
To me, the center matchup and the power play matchup could not be more lopsided for this Islanders-Penguins series in favor of the Penguins, right? The power play one of Pittsburgh is lethal. Crosby, Malkin, Letang, Kessel. Who do the Islanders got that can finish the series in a Game 7? Even though the Game 7 would be at home. That's what I've been contemplating past couple of weeks, because you had a feeling they would play the Penguins. Who would score the Game 7 goal for the New York Islanders at home against the Pittsburgh Penguins? I can't think of anybody.
I mean, the logistical choice would be Anders Lee, just because he's the new captain and he's, you know, gets those gritty goals. He scores when they need, but I think you guys are right. The Islanders, if they're to win this series, there probably will be a lot of players with 4 or 5 points and not one with, you know, 6, 7. So
I think my answer to your question was Leo Komarov, just because it's like it's going to be someone random and totally unpredictable like that.
But the other day you mentioned a name that would be interesting, and maybe it's Ryan Pulock, right?
So yeah, that would be the I would hope that he would step up and score that goal. I was just trying to say, like, and be coy that, you know, they don't have a lot of scoring. But no, I think Ryan Pulock, if we're talking with this X Factor theme continuing, that would be my guy. I like Ryan Pulock a lot, and I think their defense, Nick Leddy has room to grow in the playoffs, right? He had kind of had another down regular season. But I really do think that this, I don't know if we can call this an upset or not, I guess because the Islanders are a higher seed, but I really do believe that the Islanders could get this thing done. The Trotz factor is another real thing that is just not hypothetical. It's a real thing.
I wanted to mention that because look at those tight series that the Islanders have played in the past 5 years or so with the Washington Capitals and with the Pittsburgh Penguins, right? They got deep in both series. They got to Game 7 against the Caps. They got to Game 6 at home, lost. I think it went to overtime in the game. They were so close in both of those series. A lot of those guys still on the Islanders roster, but the one difference, Barry Trotz over Jack Capuano, that makes me think that the Islanders are the most likely team of any of these four Eastern Conference series to spring the upset.
Yeah, you know, they allowed 290-something goals last year. This season it was 100 fewer at 192, 90, whatever it was. And the thing about the Islanders is they have that fourth line with Martin, Cizikas, Clutterbuck, physical. They can also score. Cizikas had, what, 20 goals?
Yeah.
But
yep.
they're physical. They can match up against the opponents of the Penguins, which is going to be huge. So I think if the Islanders are going to win this, like you said, defense, their defense will step up. But Barry Trotz, you said it. I mean, it's just he's the coach behind that bench makes a huge difference. And the Islanders could very well win this series. I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think they're going to, but I wouldn't be shocked if the Islanders win this.
Is it Thomas Greiss or is it Robin Lehner? That would make my – that I think the edge right now would be Greiss, but that would be the other factor too. Which goalie can lock this thing down? Because I don't want to see Greiss starting games 1 and 2 and then Lehner starting games 3 and 4. I don't want to see that.
Well, Robin Lehner, I think, is going to be the starter. I believe he did have the shutout yesterday against the Caps. But Greiss has the playoff experience, not only with the Islanders, I think with Pittsburgh before. But Lehner's just played extremely well all season. We know the story. He's up for the Masterton Trophy. He's probably going to win it. But I think with the way he's playing, you throw him in game one, you see how he does. I mean, they have a. You can't go wrong with either guy, but I think Robin Lehner is going to start game one.
The Islanders are in a tough spot in that regard, though. They can't, like, say game one goes off the rails or even game two, then you start making a goalie decision and you're going to Pittsburgh. That would not look good. So it's very important that the Islanders are come out of the gate strong with emotion. One thing that I don't like about this series from the Islander perspective, they don't have any weekend home games. The craziest games that I've ever been to at the Coliseum have been those weekend playoff home games in these big series where they're overmatched and the crowd has brought them back in. All weeknight games. I don't think you can look past that.
No, I agree that the schedule definitely does not help those chances. There will be no crazy – well, there still will be crazy playoff tailgating there. That goes without saying. For the fans on the island there. But I do agree that we need an afternoon Coliseum game. So I do think, though, Pete, I do think the Coliseum's a factor in this one. I do think regardless if it's a Wednesday-Friday matchup, I think they can still get that place rocking and maybe throw Pittsburgh off their game.
I mean, it's going to be packed. They're going to be people are going to be taken off. That's going to be a fun atmosphere to see them playing the first round at the Coliseum. And then if they get to the second round, maybe play the Capitals, it would be at Barclays Center the rest of the way. But remember, Barry Trotz did say that to the Washington Capitals, he said you're going to have to go through the expletive island if you want to repeat. So maybe he lives up to that promise and gets the Islanders to the second round.
I'm glad you brought that up because, yes, he did say expletive island when he got his Stanley Cup ring from them. And at the time, I'm thinking, oh, this is nice. You know, the Islanders, maybe they'll make the playoffs. But realistically, are Washington going to have to beat the Islanders to get to the Cup final? And here we are months later, and he could be right.
Did you pick the Islanders to make the playoffs in the preseason?
I did not get a vote, but I would not have picked them. I'm not gonna lie. I would not have picked them to make the playoffs.
Only one person picked them, and we all know who that is. So hats off to him. So, guys, that time of the show, let's ping-pong some players for the Stanley Cup playoff first round in the Eastern Conference. Who do you like, Dave?
You know, I like David Krejci on the Bruins because, first of all, I think they're going to beat the Maple Leafs in all likelihood. If he gets two playoff series, that's, you know, 13, 14 games. Let's not forget, when they won the Stanley Cup in 2011, he led the league in scoring in the playoffs. You know, Tim Thomas won the Conn Smythe, but Krejci was up there. When the Bruins do well, especially in the playoffs, he's a guy that comes through, and I like him a lot.
Okay, Dave, I see you on that pick. I'll double down on these depth forwards. I'm going to go TJ Oshie for the Washington Capitals. He's an Olympic hero. He's a playoff hero. He's got all the tools that you need at this time of year. Number 77, welcome to my lineup.
Can you pick anyone that's not on the Capitals, Rob? Is that allowed?
No, I actually, that's the only list I have in front of me is their roster. So we got Oshie, Eller, Vrana, Wilson. No.
Nathan Walker?
Yeah, Nathan Walker. He might not play a game, but I'm drafting him in the late rounds too.
Just a reminder, so I don't even know if we've talked about it. So for Pittsburgh, they've been really relying on Matt Murray this year, and they've been really relying on their top line. Jake Guentzel has been as good, if not better, than any other player in the entire league over the past two postseasons from a goal-scoring standpoint. So Jake Guentzel, Sidney Crosby, they go hand-in-hand, and if they have a weak series, then the Islanders could spring this upset.
Yeah, I think another guy I'm looking at on Tampa is Yanni Gourde because he's one of those depth guys. You know, he's not going to score 30, 40 goals, but he'll get in there, score the goals, get some assists, points, and, you know, he's a good late-round guy, I think, for a good Tampa team with a lot of depth.
And another guy, you mentioned David Krejci. How about Jake DeBrusk? I mean, if the Bruins are going to come out of the East like I think they are, he's going to have to score – probably 10 goals in the playoffs and contribute on that second line. He's going to have to finish the puck off the feeds from David Krejci on that second line.
I'm going low ownership here off the board. I'm looking at Cam Atkinson in the first round. If anyone's going to score goals for the Columbus Blue Jackets and be of late round value, it's Cam Atkinson. He had an amazing season this year, shots wise, goals wise. This is the player that is consistent for them that we know will be back next year, that doesn't have that weird looming pressure over him. Cam Atkinson's going to get it done. He's going to return some good value in round one.
I think he was the quietest 40-goal scorer in the NHL this year. I mean, he almost broke their franchise record for goals, tied with Rick Nash. But really, no one with Duchesne, all the moves they made, no one was talking about Cam Atkinson. But you're right, he's been great all season, and he has for a few seasons.
And over this stretch since the trade deadline, that guy has probably hit more posts than any player in the entire league. That's an unofficial stat, but when you're watching this team, 40-plus goals plus all those opportunities, so he could be a big difference maker.
So who do we like out of the East?
Boston.
You like Pete likes Boston, and Davey?
Davey likes Tampa Bay.
Davey likes nice. Tampa Bay. So we all like someone different because I like the Caps out of the East. So this
oh
will be
my
good.
God,
we've got
shocker.
Three horses in the race. Dave, and I've got nothing to say to you.
Caps.
I love you, Davey.
I have my doubts that the Caps will defend their title in the East and overall Stanley Cup title. That said, I think they have a pretty clear path to the Eastern Conference Final, Washington.
I just think it's a little negligent not to have that team of high priority, Dave, because you look at a potential second round matchup of Boston and Tampa Bay. We saw the same thing last year. I don't know if you've forgotten or not, but that was a heavy, heavy series for both teams. And I think the Tampa Bay Lightning were a little bit worn down from it. That's why I agree about maybe Washington have a better lane here, so to speak. They're in the far left HOV lane. Tampa Bay's in the merging lane. Okay, they've got tons of traffic. They've got semis coming through. They've got all sorts of vans and school buses coming through. They can't get on the highway. Washington's in a two-door Maserati, HOV on the Autobahn.
So you got the Caps in the Cup Final. That makes a lot of – I can, like, agree with that pick, even though I'm not making the same pick, just because look at last year, right? Nashville and Winnipeg were probably the two best teams in the NHL. They met in the second round. They went seven games, and then Vegas just – you know, make quick work
right.
of Winnipeg.
Right.
So what if Tampa and Boston go head-to-head, everything out on the table, one of them gets by, and then Washington's just sitting there waiting for them? That really, when you think about it, that really helps the case of Washington.
I do think Washington has the best goalie in the Eastern Conference playoffs. I think Braden Holtby, for me, is the number one guy if you're going to have to pick one. You look at the other teams we mentioned, you know, some of them could be toss-ups or just get shelled, but I think Holtby, especially after last year against Carolina, would seem like the easiest team. So Holtby is the guy who I think, if I'm picking, is the goalie I want from the East.
And what about a sneaky goalie option? Is there appeal in the Islanders, since we kind of like them as maybe an upset favorite?
You know, I actually, my sneaky option, if you can consider this, which I think you can, is Matt Murray, just because I think the Penguins are going to win the series, number one. Number two, we can't forget what he did the past previous two times they won the Stanley Cup, how great he was. And I think he's a guy to me that people aren't going to be looking at him first or early on, but he can get the wins. He can get some he to me is the sneakiest option here.
I've never seen a young goalie in the NHL that has done so as much as Matt Murray has done and gotten so little respect.
No one talks about it just because of who's on the team. I mean, Crosby, Malkin, the guy won the cup twice before in his rookie season. I mean, no one's done that.
Right, there are still some Penguins fans who wish they kept Marc-Andre Fleury over the much younger Matt Murray. Matt Murray, since coming back from that injury in mid-December, .930 save percentage. A lot of people don't realize that. I put him in my top three Vezina just for the hell of it, just because he's had a really underrated season and unheralded, I think. With all the injuries, right, on Pittsburgh's blue line.
I was just
going to
say, Justin Schultz missed almost the entire season when you think about it. So, and think about how Pittsburgh was out of the playoff race at one point. And they almost fell out to play Washington on Saturday against the Rangers, too. So this is a team that, say what you want about them, say what you want about Crosby dropping off a little bit, he still hit 100 points. Okay, and Matt Murray, you're right. No one is talking about this guy. No one talks about Matt Murray. Think about the other contributions. Patrick Hornquist had a bad season. Okay, I thought he was going to score 30 goals this year. That type of team, they get the right guys going at the right times. No one's going to beat them.
Even the Caps,
right?
We're saying they have an easy road, but not if Pittsburgh is healthy and thriving at the right time of year like they've done so many times in years past.
All right, so we've got you covered all playoffs long on Twitter. DFS picks, goalie picks, courtesy of Dave, for sure. Dave, we need those 1A, 1B matchups broken down. I know you got into it a lot during the show, so I'm excited to hear what you have for us in store there. And then all the time at NHL Fantasy on Twitter, Pete and I will be answering your questions all playoff long. We've got this stuff covered to a T.
And remember to check out the Western Conference preview from us here for the Stanley Cup playoffs. Once again, for Dave Satriano, thanks so much for joining us on a little bit of sleep here.
Yeah, I was in the office for 12 hours yesterday breaking down all the series and running on fumes here, ready to go to Citi Field and watch the Mets Nationals drop. So
nice, Dave. Love it.
Well, for Dave Satriano, who is a machine, by the way, Rob Reese, this is Pete Jensen. Thanks so much for listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice, and enjoy the Stanley Cup playoffs.